This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, and I'm speaking with Steve Mercer. Steve is the president of Debris Free Incorporated. It's a parking lot sweeping company that is located in Galena Park, Texas, which is in the outskirts of Houston. And I chose Steve and his company, Debris Free, as a featured contractor for a very specific reason. Steve got into the business in 2008. That could hardly be a worse time to have started your own company right at the beginning of the recession, yet has managed to claw and fight his way to survive and to keep rolling. So that means that he is providing some extraordinary service and quality sweeping for his customers, among other things, and I wanted to bring that story out for the industry, because I know that there are a lot of contractors out there that have struggled through the recession. I think that Steve's story will be inspirational in, you know, how to keep doing that and the value. So with that, if you would go ahead and talk about your company and how you got into this crazy business called power sweeping, Steve, welcome to being a featured contractor.
Thanks, Ranger. First, let me say that it's a true honor to be your featured contractor of the month there at World Sweeper. That's a huge title to have, and one that we'll carry with the utmost pride and dignity. I guess I'll start by saying that our story isn't so much about an instant overnight success as it is more about the many different trials and tribulations that we, as somewhat of a new contractor in town, have faced since we started our operations back in the last quarter of 2008. I guess if you were to hire an artist to paint a picture of what a four-year-old sweeping business that has survived some pretty rough times would look like, he would probably just hand you one of our business cards. Having said, I guess that I'll begin by talking a little bit about how I become involved with the sweeper industry and what led me to eventually owning my own company. Right out of high school, I began looking for a job that would pay the bills when I noticed an ad in our local newspaper for a sweeping company that was looking for a nighttime sweeper driver. And I thought, wow, that sounds like the perfect job for me because, well, I've always been the night owl. So when I went and applied for the job, I was hired right on the spot for what is now one of my competitors here in town. If I remember correctly, I was earning just about $4 an hour. Well, after I worked there for about 3.5 years, I was offered a higher paying job with one of the largest sweeping companies here in town, which I accepted. It was well known throughout the industry that these guys ran the best equipment and had advancement opportunities in their company, so I mean, I was really game for that. So about 2 months into that job, a guy that I had seen in the offices, which were located across the street from where the drivers all parked their vehicles, he had approached me one morning as I was about to leave. He asked me how things were going and if I liked the job and what I thought about working for their company. He said that he had been hearing a lot of good things of my work and that he wanted to come over and speak with me personally. So I was like, well, okay, yeah, that's cool. Well, it turns out that the guy was actually one of the two owners of the company, and he came over to offer me an assistant quality control supervisor position, which, again, I gladly accepted. This new position is what opened the doorway to my being where I am today, because it allowed me to start gaining an invaluable amount of knowledge about the business aspects of this industry. I had advancement in the company even more. I was taught such things as how to bid on the jobs and how to get customers, and most importantly, how to keep the customers we had just through basic customer service and customer relations. Throughout the next few years of working hard, long hours, and saving what money we could, my wife and I were at the dinner table one evening talking about our lives and how, since neither one of us was getting any younger, it was time that we think about what we wanted to do with the rest of our life. Neither of us were looking real forward to carrying a lunch bucket for the next man for the rest of our lives, so we decided that it was pretty much time to let our blood, sweat, and tears be used for something that would be a little more rewarding for ourselves. So we had managed to save up a little cash, and everything that we owned was nearly paid off. And so we founded a debris-free company back in August of 2008. However, we quickly learned that regardless of the 14 years of hands-on experience that I previously had in the industry, ranging from just general driver up to the senior operations manager, that didn't really mean too much to the potential customer who viewed us merely as being a brand new contractor in town without any real work references to back our claims of providing a high quality service. About all I had to offer at that point was my word, which was my bond, and a huge desire to succeed. But sadly, that doesn't get you very far very fast in modern day times where everything is based on what's being wrote in the fine print.
Well, that would be difficult to be able to build reputable references from the ground floor, and I'm sure you would have to, during your first few months of business, really have to focus on that.
And we did. It took us quite a few months to accomplish that, Ranger. We focused really hard on building that reputable reputation, and we had to work really hard to develop a reference list from what few mom and pop sweeps that we could land. Now keep in mind that during those first few months, all of that basic cost of running a business, such as your telephones, your insurance, your utilities, maintenance, etc., continued on like clockwork, as well as having to maintain our personal lives and our household expenses. It was a struggle, to say the least, but we were faced with several unforeseen and very costly misfortunes right from the start that we didn't really plan for in the beginning.
Let me break in and say, what did you get for a sweeper? What did you get started with?
I paid cash for our very first sweeper. It was brand new out of Masco. It was a Masco 1600.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, we paid right at about $52,000 for that. And, looking back on that, it was both a good idea and then a bad idea, because although it alleviated the monthly sweeper payment itself, during those first few months of building their references or whatnot, it did not help us with building a worthy enough credit which would suffice the needs of running a business, which we soon realized that, we was going to need.
Well, and you, as I recall, you had to replace the auxiliary engine on the sweeper. How did that come about if it was a new sweeper?
Well, it was a brand new sweeper. It was just through my own neglect. For whatever reason, I neglected to check the oil in it, and we was out sweeping one night, and kerplunk, there it goes, and that was $2,300 down the tubes, for my own ignorance, I guess. But we had to replace the auxiliary engine, and then on top of that, there was a couple of deaths in our family. My wife's brother was killed, and then my mother passed away, which, we had to cough up the cost for both of those.
That's kind of a rough start getting out of the box, and at the same time, to remind everybody, we're talking about the beginning of 2009 when the recession has really hit, and we didn't have the value of hindsight that we have now to know what went on during that time, but the fact is we were down spiraling into the worst economic situation since the Great Depression, so those are the kinds of issues that can really take a toll, that's for sure.
That is correct, Ranger. And, from August of 2008 to the midpoint of 2009, when we had worked enough of the smaller jobs to finally build enough work references, which allowed us to land our very first monthly contract, it was our actual first annual agreements that we had. And although they were for four small properties, I was still quite, ecstatic, because that was our first. It was our first contracts, and we had our foot in the door for a company that was large enough that we could actually build on, because I knew that the quality of our work would sell itself for the rest of their properties that they had. So from about 2010 to 2011, we had finally established enough reputation with this company that they had awarded us with an additional six properties, six of their higher-end shopping centers. And then at the start of 2011, we began servicing nearly their entire portfolio, which consisted of almost 30 properties, and we was just at just under $250,000 per year in annual sales. So it was, you know, quite a jump from 2008 to 2011.
But just for those startups, weaving contractors and others out there listening, this is not an overnight success. This is a hard work, keep at it, nose to the grindstone, overcome the challenges, and at the same time, keep your work quality high so that in the end you can have this payout of...
Maybe payoff.
Yeah. So keep at it, and that's one of the most important parts is to keep going, because tomorrow's a better day, and you have to believe that, or you just can't keep going. So,
that's correct. You know, if you throw in the towel too soon, then tomorrow will never come. I guess the sad part of our story is that at the beginning of 2012, we signed our typical annual agreements again for nearly their entire portfolio. And in February of this year, after the bottom fell out, we got our 30-day cancellation notices for over three-quarters of our accounts. And you know, just what seemed to be overnight, our main and most loyal customer was forced to go with a cheaper service, which ultimately was just a broom and scoop outfit.
That shows what must be happening with their business as well, that they would do that. And they would have to know that, because I'm sure you told them, but for two, it's clear that when you're going with a broom and scoop outfit, as you put it, you're not getting the fine particles up off the ground, and in the long run, that's going to cost you more money, because you're going to have track-in issues with your flooring inside. You're going to have issues with your line striping and your seal coating on your parking lots, as well as it just is not going to look as good with all the fine grit that's going to build up. So that must have been pretty drastic change for them too. And part of what I want to encourage people when they're listening to this is to realize that in the long run, especially if you keep in contact with those customers, that doesn't mean that you've lost us forever. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know, Ranger, it's strange that you mentioned that, because shortly after we got our 30-day cancellation notice, within a few months, the property managers that we had been working for whatever reason, decided to leave their jobs with this company. And since that time, they have already contacted us requesting bids for their properties at their new company for 2013. So, you know, I have to say that I felt really good about that, because, you know, there was a time that I was actually wondering if it was our services or maybe our prices or whatnot. But you know, the fact that they did call us back for, you know, their new company in 2013, that reinsured that, you know, it just was not anything other than hard times for everybody.
Where do you go from here? You know, our economy, they say, is stabilizing and is getting slightly better, but it's happening from area to area and situation to situation. Talk about the services that you offer. As I understand, you've started to widen that out a little bit to do more for...
We did, Ranger. Back when we lost our main sweeping contracts, which is primarily what we focused on since the beginning, we've done pretty much what we've had to do to stay afloat. During the meantime, we've started offering a pressure washing service and graffiti removal on a small scale basis, along with continuing, you know, to sweep our existing accounts that we still have. Plus, we've got a few nibbles on some new shopping centers that have recently opened, and I've got some really high hopes for several of those for 2013. So, although times have been bad up to this point, it's by far anywhere close to doomsday for our company. Like I say, we're nowhere near ready to throw in the towel. We've got a lot of high hopes for 2013, and I believe that once the economy kind of stabilizes a little bit more and tenants start leasing these vacant spaces inside of the the shopping center complexes that things will pick back up again.
Well, that's the thing, is that we need these new business startups, and there are, depending on what areas of the country you're in, there are just a lot of vacant storefronts. It's tough, I know, for property managers when you have vacancies of how to keep your CAM services going. It sounds to me like you're doing the right things. You're talking about expanding out your client universe, and of course that was one of the problems, was that you had a lot of properties with the same customer, and so when that customer was hard hit, then you were hard hit.
That's correct. We had all of our eggs in one basket,
mm-hmm.
and when the basket failed, and you know, we had just a few eggs survive.
As anybody who has listened and read you know, my editorials and my editorial comments through the years knows that I also recommend doing as many things as you can think of for your, you know, existing customers. Striping is a good example of something that's easy to learn, relatively easy to learn. The equipment costs a lot less than a sweeper costs. But, you know, like you talk about, you know, pressure washing. Well, you have to have a pressure washer for cleaning your hopper and your sweeper anyway, so, and your other equipment. So why not job that out? And graffiti removal,
a little money with that too, on all the mm-hmm. customers that would otherwise go somewhere else for that service.
Yeah, and they know they can trust you to handle the job, whatever the job is, to date. And so, you know, you need to make sure you do a good job with that. But that's the thing with pressure washing. You can tell whether you're doing a good job. Graffiti removal, you can certainly tell whether you're
right.
doing a good job. But even doing things like offering out to, you know, offering large item removal as an example, or day portering as an example, in case somebody wants that, or tenant clean outs, where really it's just getting a truck. If you had to rent a truck and get a couple of temp workers to go and clean out, because I know there have been a number of instances with companies that have just moved out in the night and left all their fixtures and everything else that need to be removed, you know, maybe ceiling tiles replaced and those kinds of things that are no big deal to do. It's just somebody's got to do them.
And we have actually got a couple of phone calls just within the past few months for that as well, and we have went out and cleaned out the facility itself, and we just took most of that stuff right over to the landfill.
Yeah, that's right. And who better to call than your sweeping contractor? And anything you can think to do of an exterior maintenance, you know, putting up signs. If you notice that there are signs out there that aren't, you know, are down or not correct, or that they don't have their disability parking signs correct, or one of those kinds of things, you know, to offer that information up and offer the replacement at a price, a lot of times they'll just say yes and you go with it. And of course, you want to confirm if it's verbal. You want to confirm it by email or something so that you have an implied contract. But that's getting to an aside. Well, where do you see yourself headed? Do you see a rosier 2013 potential?
I do, Ranger. Like
good.
I say, we've got several pending bid proposals out there right now, and you know, I feel pretty confident that we're going to land at least a few of those. And then, you know, once things kind of pick back up from that point, that I'm looking at expanding out into our third truck, and we'll just go from there.
Sounds like you have a plan and you're working it. That's for sure, Steve. One of the things that you have recently done is to add references to your website, and I saw that instead of putting those online so that anybody can see them, you are having them be requested so that you know who's requesting them, and then you can send them out as a PDF file. That was a good move on your part to
that is correct
to do that. And just to be clear to other contractors, the reason you would want to not put your references on your website or on a brochure directly is that they make them a target for your competitors. And
that is correct.
So that was a good move. Is there anything else that you have found in your market area that, you know, makes sense or that works for you, or do you think we've pretty much covered it?
Well, that's pretty much it, Ranger. It's just not hard times here. It's hard times everywhere. There's several of the local competitors here in town that are struggling as well. There's some of the companies that have went from running 8 trucks per night down to running just 1.5. So, I mean, you know, it's hard times, and we're all having to face that demon right now. hopeful. Like I say, I have a lot of faith and a lot of hope for 2013, so just hopefully things will improve a little bit from that point forth.
Well, thanks very much for your story. It certainly is a story of perseverance and tenacity, keeping at it and continuing to do a good job. Your validation that you received from these property managers who left the service that has gone to the Broom and Scoop outfit and went elsewhere and then called you specifically for services in the next year, I mean, I think that really is a great validation of the job you're doing. You were fortunate to get that validation, and some contractors in the same situation out there that might be listening to this, you know, may not have received that. But I want to encourage them that if, you know, they were doing a good job and yet that kind of thing happened, to keep in contact with those previous customers unless you're told that it was a service-related issue or you have reason to believe it was a service-related issue, then keep at it and expect to get those contracts back. Something else that's implied in your story, Steve, that I really like is that you didn't sacrifice quality in order to keep the job. You didn't say, well, you know, yeah, I can drop it down to this price to compete with the Broom and Scoop, even though it's a 5-day sweep, and knowing in the back of your mind that you'd end up only sweeping 3 of those days, or you'd have to give it a lick and a promise and drop your reputation down. You can't afford to do that, because then you'll never get anybody back.
The slogan for a company is the difference between being good and being the best, and I certainly want to continue proving to our customers that we are one of the very best that is out there.
I think that's a great place to leave it. So unless you have something else to offer, let's leave it at that.
Ranger, I certainly appreciate you, and thank you for your time.
Absolutely, and likewise, Steve. We've been speaking with Steve Mercer, who's president of Debris Free Incorporated. They're a sweeping company that's located in the outskirts of Houston, and they are the featured contractor for November 2012. Thanks again, Steve.